Nope. Don't tell me. Less than an hour out of San Francisco and you've been at the vodka already. What in hell kind of purser are you?
A cheerful one. A passengerless captain. Thought you might be anxious to know who will be at your table.
What's so funny?
Mrs. Kaplan sent you her regards.
You can wipe that grin off your face or I'll have Mrs. Kaplan transferred to your table.
She wouldn't stand for it. Nothing but the best for that old meat axe. This is her third cruise with us.
Yes, God damn it, don't I know. I hear that voice in my sleep for months after.
You're very kind, Mr. Hanson.
We're very happy to welcome you on board again, Mrs. Kaplan.
And do give my regards to your charming Captain Barringer. I'll be seeing him later.
Not this evening. He never dines in the saloon first night at sea.
Oh, no, of course. Mr. Hanson, did I ever show you this photograph of my late husband?
Oh, no, you never did.
The late Mr. Howard Z. Kaplan. We neither of us knew it, but those 2 weeks in Bermuda were the beginning of the end. 3 days after we returned home, Mr. Kaplan had a stroke at his country club in the men's washroom.
I'm sorry.
He spoke to me in hospital just before he passed on, raised himself up, and said an odd thing. Okay, Irma, you win. 9 years ago, that was. Well, Mr. Hanson, I'm going to change and have a small martini in the bar to celebrate.
Celebrate?
Going away.
Bon voyage, Mrs. Kaplan.
All right, Hanson, who else is at my table? Why is this one underlined?
Lola Widmer, famous writer.
How young? How old?
No chicken. 50, maybe, but very well groomed. Good clothes, good teeth. Expensive typewriter.
September the 7th. In the gathering dusk, the lights of San Francisco are receding against the darkening sky. I'm lonely.
Oh.
I'm alone in my cabin on the sun deck. Air conditioning works, so far. And we are summoned to dine by musical chimes. But I'm not hungry.
And who is this pair, Hanson? Mr. and Mrs. Henry Teitelbaum.
No trouble. Both pushing 70. He had his gallbladder removed a couple of months ago.
A special diet for Henry?
That's all taken care of.
Are you finished in the bathroom, Henry?
Yeah, not quite, honey. Having a bit of trouble.
You know what Dr. Weatherfield said, Henry?
Trouble with my tie. Can't seem to get it fixed, you darn thing.
Oh, I'll fix it for you, dear.
Ah, thanks, honey. Not too tight, honey.
There. My, you look your old self almost. I do believe you're putting on weight now.
Ah, that's probably the first call. We'll have a drink in the bar.
Oh, Henry, do you think you should?
Yeah, Doc did say I could have a whiskey sour before dinner.
But we are at the captain's table, thanks to that letter Mr. Edelston wrote. It wouldn't do to be late.
Ah, to hell with it, honey. We're paying for the trip, ain't we?
Henry.
The Teitelbaum's pushing 70. Anybody under 70, Hanson?
Those two.
Orford and Lisa Wendell.
He's in his early 20s, son of a senator.
What's she like?
Quite a dish. Blonde, good figure.
Now I begin to sit up and take notice.
They're on their honeymoon.
Hanson, if they're on their honeymoon, it doesn't matter if she's a dish or not.
Orford, what are you doing?
Unpacking.
I see I've married a neat and tidy man. Why didn't you take off your shirt? You look much nicer without it.
I'll take it off, Lisa, if you promise to lay off me until I've sorted out these ties.
We are on our honeymoon, Orford.
Okay.
That's better. Little did I think when I first saw you that one day I'd be the mother of your children.
You're not yet.
We haven't concentrated up to now.
I was going to surprise you after dinner.
I'd rather you surprised me before dinner.
Supposing the steward comes in.
Lock the door.
My darling Lisa.
What about the door?
It's already locked.
You think of everything.
I love you.
Couldn't you have found me one reasonably unattached female in the whole passenger list? Who's this?
Bad news. Eldritch Trumbull III, son of a general, mid-30s, stinking rich, married and divorced 3 times, looks to me like an alcoholic. At least he was loaded when he came on board.
Thanks a million.
Last time I saw Eldritch Trumbull, he was shouting for that Japanese cabin steward to help him unpack.
Kido, you are looking at a profoundly tragic figure. Underneath my gay, cynical exterior, I am an enthusiastic and dedicated lush.
My problem is that I'm too goddamn physically attractive. I've been victimized and devoured by a series of predatory bitches. So, young man, I hereby charge you to cosset, mother, massage, and protect me. And procure fire water for me at any moment of the day or night. In general, worship me, with discretion. I'm in no mood for emotional involvements. No mood at all. Take this, Kido, and vanish in a cloud of smoke.
Okay, Hansen, what about the last two? Sir Roderick and Lady Bland. English?
Very. Early 60s.
Tweeds, brooches, and pearls, hmm?
He's an ex-governor of Singapore. Lady Bland will have to sit on your right.
What about Irma Kaplan?
I've explained the protocol. She'll be on your left.
Big deal. Sir Roderick and Lady Bland. Oh, thanks a million, Anson. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Have you seen the passenger list, my dear?
Not yet. No hope of anyone we know, I suppose.
No, and very little hope of anyone we'd want to know. I've never seen such a lot of ghastly names. Mr. and Mrs. Henry Teitelbaum. And there's Eldritch Trumbull III. Can you beat that?
Roderick, I'm dreading the captain's table, Roddy. I suppose we'd better go down and get it over with.
Let's find out where the bar is and have a stinger before dinner.
We're the only ones dressed, Henry. We ought to have asked somebody.
Ah, who cares? We've a right to doll ourselves up, honey, if we feel like it. It's a free country, ain't it?
The captain's table, Sir Roderick.
Oh, thank you.
The captain sends his compliments and regrets that he will not be coming down to dinner this evening. He always remains on the bridge first night at sea.
Well, as there's no one here to introduce us, I suppose we'd better introduce ourselves.
The name is Teitelbaum.
I'm Lady Bland, and this is my husband, Sir Roderick.
Do sit down, Mrs.
How sensible of you to change for dinner. I hate this idiotic convention of not changing on the first night at sea. I would have myself, but my husband's too lazy to put on a dinner jacket.
Oh, we didn't know. This is the first time we've been on a cruise. As a matter of fact, this is the first time we've ever been out of the United States. Imagine it. My husband, Henry's been sick.
A gallbladder.
Oh.
Good evening. I always find the first night of a voyage rather demoralizing. My name's Lola Whitmire.
Well, of all things, Lola Whitmire. There was a debate in our local literary club last month, and our president, who's really a brilliant woman, talked about your new novel.
I'm Lady Bland, and this is my husband, Sir Roderick.
Good evening.
And these are Mr. and Mrs. Teitelbaum.
Delighted to meet you.
Well, now we all know who we are. The next thing, I suppose, is to decide what we're going to eat.
So, Amandine... Amandine means nuts, doesn't it?
Oh, no nuts for you, Henry. Remember what the doctor said.
Well, I could scrape them off.
Better not risk it.
I do hope the weather stays pleasant for the first few days, at least. It's so tiresome when everything starts falling about.
Falling about? Not at all, dear lady. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eldritch Trumbull III, and this is Mrs.
Irma Z. Kaplan.
We met in the bar, Mrs. Kaplan and I.
I'd have been here sooner, but I was talking to some of the stewards. They're all old friends of mine.
I presume that our esteemed host, the chief, the old man, the captain, the commander of this floating caravansary, is busy on the bridge?
The captain never comes down to dinner on the first night out of port, Mr. Trumbull.
If I were Captain Mrs. Kaplan, I wouldn't come down at all. No offense intended to any of the distinguished company here assembled.
But are we all assembled, Mr. Trumbull? There are 2 vacant places.
About to be filled by the charming young couple now hurtling eagerly towards us.
The honeymoon couple, I'll be bound.
I'm afraid we're the last. My husband took ages over his unpacking. He has a passion for neatness.
I took a course in valetting at college. By the by, I'm Orford Wendell, and this is my wife, Lisa.
I'm Lola Whitmire.
Will anyone join me in a drink? Waiter?
Sir?
A double Rob Roy on the rocks. Well, is anyone else going to indulge?
Thank you, Mr. Trumbull. I didn't have a drink before I came down, and I feel depleted.
God bless you. I
hate drinking alone.
That I find hard to believe. But we'll let it go for the moment.
Touché. Two double Rob Roys on the rocks, waiter.
I seldom drink cocktails. I much prefer a nice glass of dry sherry.
Well, then have one. Waiter, a glass of the driest possible sherry for the lady in the pretty blue dress.
When I said I liked a glass of sherry, I didn't mean... I didn't mean I wanted one now, Mr. Trumbull.
Nonsense! Grasp the nettle! Danger! Carouse when you can.
Do you know, Lady Bland, this is my third cruise on this ship? I make a trip every year. Every year.
How nice.
What did you think of San Francisco, Lady Bland? I always say it's the most stimulating city in the United States.
It's certainly very beautiful.
And the gateway to the east.
What, Henry?
It's San Francisco, the gateway to the... Is this roll dusty or is it covered in seeds?
An aunt of mine once fell off a cable car in San Francisco. She rolled over and over and over for three blocks until the traffic light stopped her.
Traffic lights? How did they stop her?
By changing from green to red.
Why, that's my kind of joke.
Fell off a cable car.
Yes, I didn't quite follow.
Too late, too late.
You are, sir.
Here are our drinks. Miss Widmeyer, it is Miss.
It is.
One Rob Roy on the rocks. Miss Widmeyer, sleepwalking, or do you suffer from insomnia?
I could ask you the same question.
I was having a quick late night swim. You'll be pleased to know I'm now stone cold sober. At least I'm stone cold.
Haven't you anything to put on?
A hideous, terry toweling bathrobe lies in the lifeboat behind you. My last wife gave me this bathrobe 11 days before she retired to Reno with her lawyer and a hangover. Now, if you will avail your uncannily observant eyes, I'll slip the robe on and these wet trunks off. You've forgiven my oafish behavior at dinner.
There's nothing to forgive.
Come on, I was drunk and repulsive.
You were certainly drunk. I don't remember you being particularly repulsive.
Now, don't look round until you count up to 17.
I feel no urge to look round at all.
That can only mean your sense of adventure is becoming atrophied. Here we are, then. Well, let's sit down, shall we?
Very well. You were lucky to be loaded at dinner. At least it must have deadened the impact of Mrs. Kaplan's monologue.
I was conscious of a rasping noise. I thought someone was sawing off the funnel.
Tell me, what are you running away from?
The past, the present, and the future... The past depresses me, the present bores me, and the future scares me to death.
Too glib. Try again. You are running away from something, aren't you?
You are a formidable lady. Now put away your scalpel and relax. Contemplate the stars.
Seriously, what on earth induced you to come on this cruise?
Oh, to...
If you say to get away from it all, I'll leave you and go straight to bed.
I'm going to Hong Kong. I have a tailor there called Arfing. He's crazy about me.
Isn't everybody?
And don't be snappy. Every butterfly, when pinned down, is entitled to a last despairing flutter of wings.
I think I'll go to bed now anyway. It's getting a bit chilly.
I've offended you or irritated you in some way, haven't I?
Not in the least.
Please don't go. Sit down again, just for a few minutes. Sit down again. Please.
Very well. I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Curiosity is my besetting sin. Curiosity about people, I mean.
Well, it's the writer's stock in trade, isn't it?
It's partly that. But I really am genuinely interested in people. Particularly when I run across someone like you. You so obviously conform to type, I've become suspicious.
Hey!
The pattern is stereotyped, you must admit. Enough money, more than enough marriages, an assured social position, and enough personal charm to keep you in constant trouble.
Your crystal ball is working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what induced me to board this ship at San Francisco? Well, the honest truth is, to get away from it all.
Oh, no.
Now, my father, the general, is appalled by my way of life. My stepmother's response to my personal charm is negative to the point of fanaticism. The three women I was foolish enough to marry turned out, after the first fine physical careless rapture had been exhausted, to be noisy, predatory, and dull. They succeeded in extorting from me three-quarters of the income left in trust for me by my mad grandmother, a pathetic old person who, in her declining years, fed seagulls with imported beluga caviar and hot buttered toast.
You're making my head reel. What do you hope to achieve by this getting away from it all?
Peace, quiet, time to think. Take stock of myself and see if I can discover a faint glimmer of hope in the future.
Sounds all right on the surface, but I'm not really impressed.
I didn't expect you to be.
Tell me, are you planning to become a genuine alcoholic, or is this a passing phase?
Well, let's put it this way. It's taking a hell of a time to pass.
That's not really an answer.
Did you recognize me as an alcoholic the moment you saw me?
Not exactly. You drank with a little too much bravado, as though it still amused you to shock people.
Did I shock you?
A waste of time, life, and intelligence always shocks me.
Have you never wasted a moment? Has every hour of your busy, successful life been satisfactorily accounted for?
Of course not.
This evening, you have been kinder than you know. It hasn't been entirely in vain.
That personal charm again.
Was that meant to be as unkind as it sounded?
Please, let me go. That was silly?
Not at all. I kissed you because I wanted to.
I'm old enough to be your mother.
Only if you were careless enough to be raped at the age of 13.
Good night, Mr. Trumbull.
Good night, Miss Whitmire.
Myself, Captain, I'm going to ignore the weather, but ignore it and come along to your cocktail party and enjoy myself.
Thank you, Mrs. Kepler.
I've always been immune from seasickness. Isn't that a miracle, Mr. Trumbull?
A miracle indeed, Mrs. Kepler.
That charming Miss Whitmire is not here. I hope she's not too ill. I met her earlier. Hadn't slept a wink, she said.
Well, she hasn't put in an appearance at all?
Mr. and Mrs. Teitelbaum had to go and lie down hours ago, and that nice honeymoon couple are probably in bed, too.
Probably. Mrs. Kaplan, did you notice if Miss Whitmire...
Excuse me, Mr. Trumbull, but Sir Roderick and I were wondering if your father was General Trumbull.
He still is. Mrs. Kaplan, how ill did you say Miss Whitmire
He was? Dined with us in Mombasa.
We were on our way to somewhere or other.
A very gallant man, my father, Sir Roderick. Not only did he lead an entire division onto a wrong beach in Sicily during the war, he married my stepmother.
Oh.
I had a terrible experience in Sicily once. There was an awful rumbling sound, and the ground shook.
Probably the mafia. They're very powerful there. Mrs. Kaplan, did you see Miss McMahon?
Storm
seems to be getting worse.
Oh, dear. Drink's gone all over your trousers, Captain. I am so sorry.
Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing.
What happens if we roll over and the water gets into the funnels?
I beg your pardon?
I'm afraid we must... leave you now, Captain. So kind of you to invite us.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain. Jolly fine.
All good things come to an end. Are you coming down to dinner, Mr. Trumbull?
I want to buy some flowers, and then I have an appointment with a glass in the bar. But I'll accompany you to the elevator with pleasure.
Thank you.
A note for me, Kido? The captain requesting me to leave the ship...
worse. Dear Mr. Trumbull, how kind of you to send me those roses. They are quite lovely. Thank you so much. Yours sincerely, Lola Whitmire.
Oh, this pampered professional charmer lying before you, Kido, has received what is known as the brush-off. Only a temporary setback, I trust. Okay, carry on with the massage. There's something about this strange, well-groomed, intelligent Miss Whitmire that kindles new fires in my ancient bones. She has a definite allure. She has what might vulgarly be described as class. And class, Kido, in this era of proletarian infiltration, mindless nymphomania, and commercial television is becoming rarer and rarer. All right, Kido. You can leave my collarbone in place. Oh, pass me the vodka, will you? I feel suddenly disenchanted.
Now, I know that I'm never indisposed at sea, but I'm thankful the storm has passed, Captain Beringer.
And I insist on ordering 3 bottles of champagne to celebrate our miraculous escape from the perils of the deep.
But let's wait until Miss Widmire joins us, eh, Captain?
Miss Widmire sent a message. She has a slight headache and is having a light dinner in her cabin.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, as I was saying, Lady Bland, I remember once sitting at the very next table to the Duke and Duchess of Windsor at a charity ball.
I'm not at all surprised. I believe they used to go in a great deal for that sort of thing.
I'd like to go to London, England one day.
We will, honey. We will.
There's so much to see, Mrs. Teitelbaum, trooping the color, changing the guard.
We can't really complain. We have St. Patrick's Day and the Shriners.
What on earth are the Shriners?
A lot of elderly men wearing funny hats who walk about a great deal.
What for?
Some sort of atavistic compulsion, I suppose. They also get out of hand later in the day and goose people in elevators.
My late husband was a Shriner and proud to be one.
In which case, Mrs. Kaplan, I can only offer my apologies and my heartfelt sympathy.
I don't require either, thank you. Excuse me, Captain. I have an appointment to play bridge at 9.
Mrs. Kaplan...
I'm afraid I put my foot in it. I'm sorry, Captain, for causing a fracas at your smoothly conducted table.
That's okay.
Sir Roderick and I thought of going to the movie at 9:30.
Swinging All the Way Home. Has anyone seen it?
It's about a colored trumpet player who falls in love with a nun. Has a strong social message, and I shouldn't advise it.
My God.
It doesn't sound like Sir Roderick's cup of tea. I think we should just go to bed.
I think we will, too.
Yes.
How very nice to see you, Miss Widmire.
Yes. What can I order you, Miss... We're having gin slims while we take the air.
I'll try one, thank you.
Another gin.
I've been riding in my cabin all morning, and I deserve a drink.
You've been missing all the fun at the captain's table, Miss Widmire. Mrs. Kaplan's been quite a trial. But last night, Mr. Trumbull made a joke about shiners or something, and it turned out her husband had been one. She went quite red and left us.
You mean shriners?
Oh, that's the word. I knew I'd got it muddled. You know, I know Mr. Trumbull drinks rather too much and's apt to say unpredictable things, but I can't help liking him. He has charm, don't you think?
Yes, he has a great deal of charm.
Oh, Mr. Trumbull, good morning. Do pull up a chair.
We've missed you, Miss Widmire.
Your drink, sir.
Oh, good, good, thank you. What'll you have to drink?
Oh, tomato juice for me. I've decided to go on the wagon for a few hours.
Martin.
My liver's in a state of seething rebellion. I know all the symptoms.
And what are they?
Intense dissatisfaction with myself, maudlin regret for my past misdemeanors, and sudden uncontrollable bursts of weeping.
How absurd you are.
Well, Miss Widmire, you've recovered from the effects of our little storm?
Oh, I'm fully recovered now.
Sure?
Certain. Cigarette?
Thanks. When we arrive at Honolulu, we have 18 hours on shore, they tell me. Have you any plans?
No, not really. Honolulu's new to me.
They were the most beautiful islands in the world.
Were?
Much of their loveliness has been commercialized and spoiled. But believe me, when you get there, you'll see there's still magic in the air.
Miss Widmire! Oh, how nice to see a friendly face.
Hello, Mrs. Teitelbaum. Mr. Teitelbaum.
You all alone?
Actually, I'm waiting for some friends to take me to see some of the island.
We were just wondering whether we should go out and look at the Waikiki Beach or stay here in the hotel and have some iced tea.
He's not supposed to do much after his operation. If you'll excuse me, that's the most darling dress I've ever seen. But then you always seem to wear the right things. That dress you wore at the captain's table last night was just perfect.
It's very sweet of you to say so.
We were watching you and Mr. Trumbull dancing in the lounge afterwards, and I said to Henry, if I hadn't known you both, I'd have sworn you were both professionals. Didn't I, Henry? Personally, I've always been clumsy. Henry always used to laugh at me.
That's very unkind of him.
Oh, he was quite right. That's been the trouble all our married life. Henry's always been right.
Just button your lip, honey. And stop boring the hell out of Miss Widmire. Now, let's you and me go and grab some iced tea.
Enjoy yourself.
Bye.
I'm sorry. I've been longer than I intended to be. I was getting the picnic lunch organized. It took the time. You were right?
Yes. I was just thinking about those two. The Teitelbaums. They're so innocently happy together.
Come on.
We're going to picnic on a small coral beach hidden from prying eyes by a grove of palms.
Sounds wonderful. It is wonderful. How is it you know this island so well? Did you bring any of your wives here?
Only the second one. It was here during our honeymoon that I observed the first telltale signs of her incipient nymphomania.
It couldn't have been a happy honeymoon.
Hauling one's bride out of other people's beds does become tedious after a while.
Were you in love with her?
Well, I thought I was. I enjoyed sleeping with her. But the comment last bit got me down, so we flew back to New York, and she divorced me for mental cruelty.
And the first wife? And the third?
The first? Oh, a lady to her fingertips. The impressive wedding was followed by a doleful week in Bermuda, where she fell off a bicycle and broke her collarbone. Had she broken her neck, it would have saved me a great deal of time and money.
And the third?
A professional waif, one of nature's rebels. Known colloquially as a kook.
No lipstick, no hairbrush, and the wrong stocking.
She was also a small part actress, which I'm happy to say she still is. Enormous eyes and an attractive little body. It gave the impression she was more intelligent than she really was.
Why did you marry her?
Well, she was in love with me for 7 months.
Oh.
My father and stepmother disliked her, so I took her to lunch with them. She had 3 double dry martinis, told a couple of dirty stories, and explained that her brother had been in prison for un-American activities.
Really?
She omitted to explain that his un-American activities had merely consisted of indecent exposure at the corner of Lexington Avenue and 49th Street.
I don't believe a word of it.
Ah, what is truth? Poor kid. After our divorce, she returned to the theater. And now lives with the stage manager of a theater in the round outside Pittsburgh.
You know, when I sat waiting for you in the hotel foyer, I was trembling like a schoolgirl expecting her first beau. I just wanted to get up and go. I suddenly realized that I'm 50 and about to embark on a love affair with a man years...
Oh, come on.
Yes, 13 years younger than I am. It'll only bring me misery, I told myself.
Oh, you've been in love before.
Oh, yes. But the lovely moments never made up for the pain and the self-recrimination that came later. Oh, I know that the disillusionment was always my fault.
Why do you say that?
I'm no good at being in love. I'm too suspicious, too egocentric. I thought to myself, no, not again. I have my work to do. And then I saw the tidal bombs and what they'd achieved. They hadn't degenerated into a resigned acceptance of each other. Watching them, I felt a sort of envy.
So you didn't get up and leave the foyer?
No. And here we are. And I loved our swim. And your picnic was perfect. You even remembered the pepper and salt.
I aim to please. Life's not all beer and Skittles, as someone romantically put it, but it does provide a few moments to remember.
Permission must be obtained to enjoy these few moments.
Permission?
From one's common sense.
Has your common sense given permission?
The lights have been in.
You know something? You should be very proud of your eyes. I know they're bright and clear and don't miss a trick. But they've still kept their innocence.
You know, that's a shipboard romance if ever I saw one. Ever since we left Honolulu, there's been a look in their eyes.
Whose eyes?
Eldritch Trumbull and Miss Whitmire, of course.
Good luck to them.
Good morning, you exclusive young pair.
Exclusive, Mrs. Kaplan?
Well, you don't circulate. You didn't even come to the children's concert yesterday.
We are on our honeymoon.
And you don't want to be social. I understand.
We're enjoying the trip.
The days fly by. Are you enjoying yourself, Mrs. Kaplan?
Well, to be quite frank, not quite so much as I'd expect. Well, it's not that I resent Lady Bland occupying the seat of honor at the captain's table. Heaven knows I'm not small-minded. I just feel that Lady Bland and her husband give themselves airs. And as for Eldritch Trumbull, well, although I admit he seems to be drinking less lately, since becoming friendly with that career woman.
Miss Widmer, you mean?
Oh, you've noticed, too? Well, that day we left Honolulu, I could have sworn he put his arm around her, but I had the wrong glasses on at the time. Oh, you're not going?
We're going to our cabin for a game of Scrabble.
Well, I have enjoyed our little chat. Why, good morning, Lady Bland. Answer, Roderick. No. Please, don't get up. May I join you? How clever of you both to have found this quiet spot.
Yes. Away from everyone.
Good morning, Mrs. Kaplan.
I thought I'd read my new novel before lunch, but there's too much sex in it for my taste. I mean, sex is all very well in its place, but when it's overdone, it can become too much of a good thing.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I must go and fetch my pipe.
Come back soon, dear.
We'll meet at luncheon, Mrs.
What a darling man. That type of British gentleman is dying out, I fear.
We still have a few in England.
Oh, I find people fascinating. Take Lola Widmeyer. Now, she's got such a clever face, and she's really wonderfully preserved for her age.
I've really no idea what her age is.
She'll never see 50 again.
Perhaps she doesn't want to.
Have you noticed the romance between Lola Widmeyer and that dreadful Eldridge Trumbull?
I find him most charming and amusing.
Well, I don't think it's charming. Or amusing, to carry on with someone old enough to be your mother.
Really, Mrs. Kaplan, I can't feel that either Mr. Trumbull's or Miss Widmer's private affairs are any concern of yours or mine. If your interest in your fellow creatures leads you to make malicious innuendos behind their backs, I suggest you curb that interest, at least in my presence. Excuse me.
Well, what have I said?
Hi. What are you doing?
Watching the sea go by.
Will you be at home tonight? Should I be passing?
Of course.
What's the matter?
The matter? Nothing's the matter.
Well, something's upset you.
I'm afraid we haven't been as discreet as we thought we were. When I was having breakfast, my stewardess made a few pointed remarks about how nice you were, and didn't I think it was a shame about you being so unlucky in love? Smelling a rat, I questioned her. And it turns out that her greatest friend on board works in the beauty salon and sets and washes Mrs. Kaplan's hair every other day. Need I say more?
How did the old bitch find out?
I don't think she's actually found out anything. But she's noticed we're together a lot and that you're not drinking so much. She's also been fairly vitriolic about the disparity in our ages. Oh, it's so humiliating.
My dear, it's nobody's business but ours.
It's sort of degrading.
I don't see that it's degrading.
Of course you don't. You're a man. And anyway, you're more or less accustomed to having your private affairs talked about. I'm not.
You really are angry.
Yes, I am. Not with you, with myself.
Oh, thanks for absolving me. My self-confidence is restored, and that, as you know, is notoriously vulnerable.
Now you're angry.
Well, nobody enjoys being told they're a degrading influence.
I didn't say that.
I think you're making a great drama out of nothing.
I just can't tolerate the idea of everybody on the ship whispering and gossiping about us.
Well, this particular enchanted evening seems to have got a bit brown round the edges. What I need is a drink. Do you want one?
No, thanks. I don't indulge in that form of escape.
Well, hoity-toity. Perhaps you'd be less scratchy if you did. Oh. Call me when you want to see me. I promise to wear dark glasses and a false beard.
Miss Widmeyer, we missed you at dinner this evening. Mr. Trumbull wasn't there either.
I had a slight headache.
Oh, I am sorry. But you'll be sure to be at the gala dinner and dance next week. Fancy dress optional.
I have a great deal of writing to do, Mrs. Gap.
Ah, yes. To catch up, I dare say. I've persuaded Mrs. Teitelbaum to dress up as a Roman matron. Well, she has to think of her figure. And I'm going as Madame Butterfly. Are you looking for Mr. Trumbull?
Excuse me, Mrs. Kaplan.
I saw him in the bar with a very attractive redhead. She had the tightest-fitting gown I ever did see. Young people
today. Good night, Mrs. Kaplan.
Good night, Miss Whitmire.
Come in.
I'm drunk.
Yes.
And I'm in no condition to be in charge of a car.
Fortunately, you're not driving a car. You're in my cabin.
Now, that's where you were wrong. I'm driving a rented Chevrolet convertible, and beside me is a lady I love very much. She has a tender mouth, observant eyes, a colored scarf round her snow-white hair, because, you see, she's so very, very, very much older than me. So old that I have to slow down at every curve in case she lurches forward and knocks a poor wrinkled old kisser on the windscreen.
This is no time for whimsical charm, Eldridge. It's too easy.
Oh, don't be angry, Lola. I know I behaved badly and made you unhappy, but don't be angry. It's such a waste of time.
Getting drunk's a waste of time, too.
You said that to me once before. We didn't know each other very well then.
We don't know each other very well now.
Lola.
Please go, Eldridge. We'll talk in the morning.
We'll talk now, my darling. I can still make a little sense, even though I'm drunk. All right, all right. We had a quarrel, and I got stinking drunk because I was ashamed of myself. But there's no need for tears. Now, please, what's upset you?
Who was she?
She?
In the bar. The girl with the red hair. I saw you both.
Ho, ho, ho! So that's it.
Who was she? The red-haired woman who took you so considerately to bed.
Her name, believe it or not, is Mary Bell Goldstein. Steen to rhyme with mean rather than Stein to rhyme with Epstein. She didn't take me to bed. She made every effort to do so, but we parted outside my cabin with every expression of mutual esteem to rhyme with scream.
Oh, Eldridge.
Oh, come on. There now. I'll go back to my cabin. But you'll have to come with me. Mary Bell may have staggered back there in a drunken stupor and be lying waiting for me. I didn't lock the door.
Stay, my darling. Stay.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention once more, please. The winner of the fancy dress contest is Mrs. Henry Teitelbaum. And I ask Lady Bland of Surrey, England, to present the first prize.
Teitelbaum looks like a cat who swallowed a considerable amount of cream.
Well, Mrs. Kaplan doesn't appear to be exactly enchanted with the fourth prize. You know something? On the whole, the last few days have been the happiest of my life.
I almost believe that.
It was the same for you, wasn't it?
Of course. I shall relive every single moment long after.
Long after what?
I was going to say, long after it's all over, but that would have sounded ungrateful.
And yonder all before us lie deserts of vast eternity. Now stop trying to see the whole wood. Relax. Enjoy the trees.
It's just that when I start to write, I always know what the end will be.
And our love affair?
That's all it is. All it can ever be.
And why shouldn't it last forever and a day?
Because nothing ever does. Nothing.
I see. I got myself involved with a whiner.
I have never whined in my life.
I knew that'd snap you out of it.
I'm as proud of hell of you, honey.
No.
First prize. Yeah, just wait till we tell Peachy and Joe back home.
Oh, Henry, it's only a fancy dress party. Oh, may we join you for a moment? I feel exhausted.
Well, let me draw in a couple of chairs.
Oh, thank you.
Well, congratulations, Mrs. Teitelbaum.
You look great.
Oh, you're very kind, Mr. Trumbull, Mrs. Whitmire. I'd hoped you'd be in fancy dress, Miss Whitmire. Didn't I say to you, Henry... Henry? What's the matter? You look a little...
Mr. Teitelbaum.
Oh, Henry! Henry!
Oh, it's all right, Mrs. Teitelbaum.
Oh, are you all right?
I'll loosen his collar.
Oh, no.
What's happened? Anything wrong?
It's Mr. Teitelbaum, Sir Roderick.
Shall I fetch the doctor? He's at the table in the corner.
No.
No, Sir Roderick. He doesn't need a doctor. Not now.
Yeah. Better fetch my wife. She'll know what to do.
Mrs. Teitelbaum, please sit down for a moment. Here.
Everyone's so kind. So kind. What am I going to say to Dr. Weatherfield?
There it is, the peak of Hong Kong Island.
I can hardly believe the voyage is over. Moments it seemed interminable. Now it seems to have gone like a flash.
Mm.
Are you going to stay here long, Miss Whitmire, before returning to the States?
I don't know.
We're staying in Hong Kong till next Tuesday. Then we're flying out of Fiji and Tahiti to look at the islands before they're really overrun.
But just a moment.
Bora Bora's still unspoiled.
Sounds lovely.
Of course, we'll have to stop off at Manila for a few days because it's American territory and it'll be simpler to be married there than anywhere else.
I say, what a delightful surprise. This calls for a celebration.
Not really, because it isn't true, Sir Roderick.
After Bora Bora, our plans are uncertain.
Not nearly so uncertain as they are before Bora Bora.
Lady Bland, my future wife is many, many years older than I am, and she's apt to become rather irascible at times. But underneath her harsh exterior, she's as gentle as a lamb.
You know, when we first met at the captain's table, I decided you were a peculiar young man. Since then, I've seen no reason to change my opinion.
Well, then I was drunk. Now I'm sober as a judge.
In that case, you must be out of your mind.
People in love are always out of their minds. Oh, I almost forgot. Lola, my darling, will you do me the honor of becoming my wife in Manila on the 14th of April?
Certainly not. Oh, Eldridge, don't.
In that case, we shall have to continue to live in sin, which is morally reprehensible and socially untidy.
Please.
One more question. Do you love me?
You'd better say yes. It'll save time in the long run.
Yes. Yes.
And Manila?
I can't find my handkerchief.
Have mine. The 14th of April?
Yes. Have it your own way.
Oh, good. That's settled then.
Here's the passenger list, Captain. Thought you'd like to know who'll be at your table.
I don't know what gave you that idea. Who's this? Sigmund Larsen.
Movie director. He's been filming in Hong Kong, now going back to San Francisco.
Miss Celia Addison, any hope?
Early 60s, slightly lame, and a Christian Scientist.
She's no right to be lame if she's a Christian Scientist. This last one, Book Lester?
A friend of Mr. Larson's.
What kind of friend?
Your guess is as good as mine, sir.
Thanks. You better put Mrs. Kaplan on my right.
Well, Mr. Hanson, I'm going to change and have a small martini in the bar to celebrate.
Celebrate?
Going home.
Bon voyage, Mrs. Kaplan.
In Bon Voyage by Noel Coward, adapted by John Graham, Lola Widmire was played by Honor Blackman, Irma Z. Kaplan by Libby Morris, and Eldritch Trumbull III by John Rowe. Lady Bland was Joan Sanderson, Sir Roderick, William Fox, Mrs. Teitelbaum, Hazel Coppen, Mr. Teitelbaum, Malcolm Hayes, Lisa Wendell, Madeline Kem, Orford Wendell and the steward, Peter Whitman, Captain Beringer, Trader Faulkner, and Hanson, Paul Gaiman. Bon Voyage was directed by Kay Patrick.